This is Candy Goldman. We'd like to welcome our guests, Barbara Atkinson and Roger Littman, who are with Terra Sol. That means Earth Sun, I guess literally in Spanish. They're here to discuss solar electrification and other energy projects in Central America and Nicaragua specifically. Both Barbara and Roger were in Nicaragua this past winter, and where they were working on some projects, and I had an opportunity to speak with them before this program about that and see some of their slides. But before we get into some of those details about what they've been doing in Nicaragua and some of the express projects that they have that are ongoing, I wanted to ask both of you, how did you get interested in Terra Sol, and what is Terra Sol?
Terra Sol is an organization based in the United States supporting solar energy development in Nicaragua. I myself had been in Nicaragua doing various kinds of energy work for several years on short trips and had worked with the energy utility there. And this was my first chance to work in the countryside doing this kind of hands-on and rural electrification project.
As for me, I've had Terra Sol fulfilled a couple of interests of mine. I've had a long-standing involvement in opposing U.S. intervention in third world countries going back to Vietnam. And I've also been involved in energy issues, particular energy conservation, alternative energy, renewable resources, and that sort of thing. Nicaragua is a place that is very receptive to that kind of progressive development. And so the opportunity to contribute to the development of Nicaragua in an environmentally sound manner was very attractive to me.
Right, so you've been able to combine some practical experience with your politics and beliefs.
That's right.
Great. Now, do both of you, in fact, have specialized background to be able to work on these kinds of projects? Are you engineers or electricians, or what kind of skills really are required to be working on these kinds of projects in third world countries?
Well, my background is in fixing just about anything that moves, mechanical or electrical, and some engineering training in alternative energy, so it all fits together pretty well.
I was just going to ask you if I can get your card from you, come over to my house and do all the things I don't get around to doing over there. When you're around. Barbara, how about you?
I have a mechanical engineering background, and I had done in the past teaching in Managua to engineers in a classroom setting. So this project, to work in Nicaragua in any setting, you definitely need versatility and ability to think on your feet, as well as, for this particular project, hands-on skills and knowledge of electricity. But one of the important things that you need to know is that you always need to improvise. You always need to be able to... The materials that we think are available here, simple tools or simple materials, are not always available there. And you need to be able to share them and to come up with a substitute if you don't have exactly the tool that you need.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more when we get into some of the details of some of the specific projects you work on, because I know you were being very creative with some of the ways you're going to patch things together and different kinds of uses of wires as well as materials that were available down there. So I imagine that replenishing stocks when things go wrong or when something runs out can become a major issue for an area like that. Getting back to my initial question, you've gotten involved in this. What really is Terra Sol, and how did it get started?
Terra Sol is an organization of people that support the development of solar energy in Nicaragua in particular. It started out as a network of people who were in correspondence with one woman down there in Nicaragua who was working very hard on various solar energy projects. We got a request from her for support for a photovoltaics installation project. Photovoltaics, which is what we mainly worked on, is a system that converts solar energy directly into electricity. So it happened to come at a time when both of us had the opportunity to travel to Nicaragua, and we were asked to install a photovoltaic lighting system in a schoolhouse in a very remote agricultural cooperative.
Great. How did you make the connections to this particular individual?
I had known, this woman's name is Barbara Francis, I had known her, I had prepped her for to go down to volunteer in Nicaragua. She's one of us, of a small group of North Americans who devote a certain number of years of their lives to living and working in Nicaragua. So she had gone down there originally to work with the energy utility and now is working with the engineering university. But she sees her role as facilitating various types of solar energy projects. The primary ones have been the photovoltaic systems, the solar electric lighting systems. Also, there are some solar oven projects going on in Nicaragua that she helps channel people into. There are plans and dreams to get some grants and to do some other humanitarian aid work. It would be possible to do refrigeration, solar photovoltaic refrigeration for health clinics in the countryside, for example. water pasteurization and the activities such as those.
Why solar specifically rather than other forms of energy? Why that resource?
Nicaragua certainly has a lot of that resource. They don't have petroleum, but a lot of people classify anything renewable as solar, and in a sense that's true because the energy ultimately all comes from the sun. There's also hydroelectric power, geothermal power, which Nicaragua is developing as well.
Would you expect at some point perhaps to be expanding into those other uses of energy resources as those things develop in Nicaragua, or is that maybe something that another project might work on at some point rather than yours?
There are actually other projects working on those. They're well under development, yes.
So we have affiliated ourselves with some of those other projects, some small hydroelectric development, some emergency generator projects, and wind projects as part of a larger coalition to coordinate and discuss activities related to this type of humanitarian aid.
Okay, and this is really private groups and private individuals then going into, here specifically Nicaragua. I presume that the government there is cooperating with you from their side to help get you into the backwoods or back into the rural populations in order to be able to do these things, because they don't stand in your way. Is that a fair comment?
No, they certainly are helpful. We've also had help from private nonprofit development agencies in Nicaragua and from the cooperatives themselves.
What about the scientific community itself? How helpful do you find them to be, generally speaking, at least those that are aware of the kinds of projects that you're doing?
In the United States?
In the United States, yeah. Or is that not something that's really come up as an issue for you at this point?
Well, we certainly draw on the volunteer assistance of people involved in TerraSolar, mostly professionals, professors, mm-hmm. scientists, engineers, who support our work. And then there's a larger number of our colleagues and people in our circle who support us with financially.
Great. Why specifically Nicaragua? I mean, are there other places in Central America or throughout the Caribbean that you're thinking of looking to, other parts of the world that you'll be looking at? I mean, how global is the perspective at this point?
TerraSol originally was designed as a Nicaragua project, and my own interest mm-hmm. in Nicaragua was because of the political situation there. When I first wanted to go, I had a general goal of wanting to work in the third world and use my technical skills. When I heard about Nicaragua, that they had had a revolution, that they were forming a new government and a new society, I wanted to see it for myself, and that's what I've been able to do through the last 5 years. So I think there was something special about Nicaragua in the sense of something was happening and changing, and I think that interests a lot of people. There are people in our group who have worked in other Central American countries, and in our larger coalition who are interested in communicating with people who are working in other parts of the third world. And we are getting letters now from, we publish articles in international magazines, and people are writing from Africa and from, well, Australia, it's not the third world, but asking questions and wanting to share information.
Great. Roger, I think you were going to make a comment also.
I agree with what Barbara said. I just want to add that Nicaragua is an entire society that has dedicated itself to positive development and constructive social change, and that's a very productive place to be able to work. It's a bit different than a military regime where you might do something, but anything you do would be totally against the government. If you were trying to develop solar energy, the government would see it as a threat. That's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, that makes it a little trickier.
We should say that the economic situation in Nicaragua now has made things increasingly difficult over the years. I've watched this happen. Sometimes the priorities of the government have to be large power plants and keeping them running and getting new ones online, and the renewable energy projects, the biomass projects, the wind, solar, hydro have often not received the attention that we enthusiasts of these forms of energy would like to see them receive. And the gap is being filled by groups like ours, and also by, and more thoroughly by, European governments have funded projects. Many of the renewable energy projects have European and mostly Western European government support. This was very interesting to me. And this a sort of a their form of a Peace Corps, if you will, but so they're actually paying people salaries to stay in Nicaragua long term. Now, we don't have the opportunity because of the political stance of our government to do anything like that. So we're all volunteers, except for the people who stay long term and earn a very, very small salary. We come and go from the United States. So we see ourselves as fitting into supporting those projects.
So when you people go down, it's basically off your own back to go down.
Right.
And those that are able to stay longer have a subsistence wage, essentially, in order to be able to remain there.
That's right.
Indefinitely.
Right. We see ourselves as doing what we wish our government was doing to aid the people of Nicaragua in a positive, constructive way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have had a lot of experience. I just want to get started on this briefly because we're going to take a break in a couple minutes. But you were down there earlier this year. Tell me a little bit about what you were doing and what you experienced in working on a project. This was the one where you were talking about putting in solar electrification for a schoolhouse, I believe.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about that. What happened? And where were you?
We were in the fairly far up in the north part of Nicaragua, not too far from Esteli as the crow flies, though the road isn't that good.
Uh-huh. I bet that's, yeah, the transit itself must be difficult just getting out there.
Right. There were numerous obstacles to overcome, and it's hard to imagine how slim the resources are in a country that's as poor as Nicaragua. It's poor both historically as a neo-colony, and it's poor in the present because of the U.S. war on Nicaragua and because of the U.S. economic blockade, which has forced them to put almost half of their national budget into defending themselves and has made it very difficult to get replacement parts and develop their economy.
So consumer basics are real hard to get hold of there.
Right. Not only consumer basics, but things that a technician might need,
mm-hmm.
and transportation and communication in general. Any day on which you could complete a phone call could be considered a success, and we spent a lot of time trying to get transportation, trying to get places, trying to make contact with people. That was a major part of this job that we estimated as 2 days' work and mm-hmm. took a good part of a month.
Yeah, so you have to throw U.S. concepts of time and convenience out the window when you begin to work on a project like this.
Right, and people get very frustrated, but you have to understand what the real reason is why the resources are so limited there.
Okay, how did you happen to get to this particular area of Nicaragua? I mean, was there a special reason that you went there as opposed to another part of the country?
Barbara Frances met someone who was working with an international brigade. These were also volunteers that were working in this cooperative building houses. And they started to talk about electricity. This co-op for a long time had wanted some electricity. They had asked their regional government for a generator, a diesel or a gasoline generator, and it was not going to be likely that they or any cooperatives in the region would be able to have that for a long time. So Barbara said, great, let's see if we can put the next system in at this cooperative. Sent up a letter. We happened to be going at the time, so that's how that worked. That's how that was chosen. Somewhat haphazardly, someone liked this cooperative, liked the people, thought they deserved the system, and we showed up.
Great. I want to pursue this a little bit more in terms of the details of what kind of system you were really putting in here and how this works and what does happen when things go wrong and when you do need to have replacement materials. But first, we're going to take a short break, and this is One Earth, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is One Earth again, and your host, Candy Goldman. We're talking with Barbara Atkinson and Roger Lippman with the project Terra Sol. Before we took a break, we were talking about a specific project in northern Nicaragua for the, I have to try and use this phrase, photovoltaic electrification, I guess. That's probably repetitive. of a schoolhouse in a small cooperative. What did you have to do when you got to this place?
Well, perhaps I should describe the cooperative.
Yeah.
It's a agricultural co-op. People are growing basic food crops. There are a series of houses and one community building, which is a schoolhouse. This is quite common. It's a schoolhouse or a cafeteria or some kind of building where people gather. In this case, there are children's school classes going on during the day. And what they wanted to do was give adult and children's classes at night. There were a group of women who had a sewing collective, and they, when they got the cloth to begin, they had some pedal-powered sewing machines. They wanted to be able to sew at night. People work very hard during the day, and they don't have time to do these kinds of activities. But at night, if they had a couple of hours of lighting, they could. So that's what we were doing, was installing a small system on this school building.
Okay. And what did that involve?
The equipment that we had to use was a 40-watt photovoltaic panel. And that is 40 watts peak and at the height of the sunlight of the day.
Okay.
And two 20-watt light fixtures with fluorescent lights,
mm-hmm.
and a battery and a control box and the wires and so on to connect it all together.
I was going to say, were you using fluorescents because those actually spread the light better at that kind of wattage, or just because it's more convenient to use them?
Fluorescents in general are much more efficient.
Okay, so it takes less to produce.
Right. When you have a very limited amount of electricity, you want to use the most efficient lighting source.
Okay, what about being able to replace those fluorescents when they do go? Is that a problem for them down there?
Now, well, these tubes are actually available in Nicaragua. The tubes are standard. They were 2 foot long tubes.
Mm-hmm.
The replacement would still be complicated because they would have to get the money, bring them from the capital
right.
city. For that reason, we brought several sets of replacements. The fixtures themselves are special, have special ballasts, but those will stay in place. They won't fail for quite a long time. So this was another advantage of this system, that the tubes for your standard building AC power can also be used in this. This is a DC power system.
Okay.
The way the system works is that the panel converts the sunlight into electricity during the day when it's sunny and stores it in the battery. And then, of course, when at night when you want to use the electricity, it draws the electricity from the battery. And we estimated that this system could last about 5 days, even if they were very cloudy, which is unlikely, 5 days in a row, using them about 2 hours a night.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, I mean, you're in the tropics. What about when it gets rainy or cloudy? Is that a problem?
That's what she said. That's
right.
The answer, that it's designed to store about 5 days' worth of electricity. Otherwise, on a sunny day, it completely recharges itself each day.
Right.
People also asked us, how many hours, not how many days, because every once in a while they'd like to stay up late and have a holiday.
Sure.
A holiday was coming up, have a party. So we told them, watch the control panel, uh-huh. make sure the level of charge is high enough so your lights aren't going to go out automatically, because that's something else we have been building into the system over time, is some automatic controls, because experience in the past shows that people have let the batteries run down from not knowing that that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Lights go out until someone else can come in and troubleshoot that they don't have the electricity. So we're now working with teaching people how to tell when the charge is going down by looking at the dial, but having that automatic control on the system.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is probably a North American bias, but it seems to me that the kind of villages that you're going into, you're also going into places where the levels of education and literacy are not necessarily what we would normally expect for producing systems like this. I'm assuming you also have to spend some time educating the community, therefore, to what this system is and how they need to use it. And this thing about knowing how to watch the battery going and what the controls are as part of that built-in sort of safety lever for yourselves and for them as well. Is that
right?
Fair
that's
comment?
Certainly true. The level of education and technical familiarity is fairly low, but the people that we met and worked with, we found to be extremely intelligent. And
sure.
We asked them to pick several people to work with us in the process of the installation and setup of the system. And so in the course of that, they got to see every part of it, get their hands on it, see how it worked. And we were able to explain to them just what the important features of it are to make sure that it lasts. And then, after we had installed it, we took the entire cooperative on a tour of the system, and we had the people that had worked with us explain to the other people just how it worked and how to take care of it. And they even assigned a 3-year-old, who was one of our best students, to make sure the other kids didn't throw rocks at it.
One other interesting thing was that when we first asked them to assign more than, not just one person, because what often happens is that person learns about the system and then has to be called away or leaves the cooperative. And so we said more than one person. So they assigned what you might expect, one of the leading founders, who was a man of the cooperative, but also 2 women who, because they said to us, the women are around the buildings during the day. They're not as much in the fields. And so mm-hmm. they need to be able to operate and maintain it.
Right.
So we were impressed that they made that decision, that there was that mm-hmm. level of consciousness. This is
very democratic way of spreading
that
responsibility. Great. I know you're working on some new projects, at least I presume you are, right now. What kind of new things are you talking about today?
For one thing, we're dedicated to continuing the work that we started, and we are mm-hmm. always encouraging people to volunteer to go down to Nicaragua and install more photovoltaic systems in other cooperatives.
Great.
We see this as a learning process for ourselves as well as for the Nicaraguans. A handful of systems, similar photovoltaic systems for lighting and cooperatives, had been installed in the past, and there wasn't the level of transfer of information of people working with the people doing the installation, any kind of manual written down or information mm-hmm. transferred. So we tried to take this a step up in several ways. One was to stay longer, work more with people, write everything down in Spanish, but go over it also
to make sure
with a few people, and leave a schematic with the control panel so the next person who wanted to read it could read it. The next step, however, I mean, the ideal thing is not to have North Americans come and go and partners coming and going, installing and leaving, but is to have people in the country understanding the systems and being responsible for maintaining them. The organization we worked with, the non-governmental organization, which was very helpful in facilitating our getting to the cooperative, we formed an agreement with them whereby we will supply the technical support and design and people and some equipment, and they will choose the cooperatives, which will make things a lot more orderly in terms mm-hmm. of who needs what and where,
mm-hmm.
and hire some Nicaraguans to do work with the installation from the beginning, and then go around and maintain the systems so that they'll routinely make a tour of systems and find out what's needed. And that is really, I think, the way to go in terms of things working the way
ultimately they should.
They should.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is sort of the electrification version of give a man a fish and you feed him for one day, but if you take him out and teach him how to fish, he can feed himself for a lifetime. Same principle I see here at work. You're teaching them and teaching yourselves at the same time so you can make correctives, and then letting them take over so it becomes something that's part of their community and not something that's a benevolent gift from the Great Northerners or some other power group that comes in.
That's true. And also, we, aside from teaching them the technical details, we want to encourage Nicaragua on the path that it has to some extent chosen, and that mm-hmm. is the development of renewable energy. As I said, they don't have any oil. Oil is very expensive for them, and they're in an ideal situation to basically provide their own energy resources.
Good, and you can burn just so much wood for so long before you get the deforestation problems, so converting to solar seems to make a lot of sense, especially in a tropical region.
We had people pointed out the advantage of this system. They had had a gasoline generator there previously, and it was very noisy. Mm-hmm. It was a temporary installation for the power tools for the brigade, and when this system worked somewhat miraculously to them, they said, we didn't know if it would really, really work, but we yeah. turned the lights on and it worked. And they said, it's light without noise. The
right.
other observation uh-huh. that we made was, we were discussing the concept of the fuel being free from now on. Obviously, this was a donation, they hadn't made the investment, but the system was there, and from now on the sunlight would keep coming. And someone said, the U.S. can't blockade it.
True, there's a limit to how far you can go. I don't think we're going to get one of Christo's little nets over the sun yet.
No, I think it's important, the issue, we're just in the pilot stages of all of this, and the issue is related to what kinds of rural electrification methods Nicaragua is choosing and going to go for is very much in flux. And the other thing we're encouraged about is that TerraSol in Nicaragua has made contacts not just with this one organization, but with several, both affiliated with universities and some private organizations, who are all very excited about the project, and in some ways it's being turned over, the debate is being turned over to them in terms of choosing what and how it's going to happen.
Right. I think that one of the groups that you're working with up here for this material aid project, actually I think that's what it's called, and it's through EPICA, which is the Environmental Project on Central America Materials Aid Project. And that's how this new system is being developed. Is that correct? Is that the right group through which you're working with?
That's correct, yes.
Right.
Yes.
What are you hoping to do now in the future? Are you hoping both to get back to Nicaragua yourselves? Any plans immediately to go back down?
Well, we certainly hope to. I feel like we started something that at least we should go back and check up on, even though we've had other people go that have done a real good job. I definitely want to go back to the cooperative where we worked, and see how things are going. And we thought the people there were tremendous. We'd like to keep in touch with them.
Yeah. Barbara, how about you?
I always, when I'm leaving Nicaragua, people are asking me, when are you coming back? And I always say, I don't know, but then I always come back. So don't know. There is going to be a conference this November, and if I can get to it, I will. But it's going to be on renewable energy in Nicaragua. It's actually a memorial conference for Ben Linder, who was working with small-scale hydro.
Right. That sounds real exciting. So it's a whole bunch of people coming together to do this kind of work, and Nicaragua's a pilot area
for
development.
Central America Rural Electrification.
Great. Well, keep up the good work. And thanks for coming in today. This is your host, Candy Goldman, and we'd like to thank our guests again, Barbara Atkinson and Roger Lipman with TerraSol, for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our engineers, Charles Runette and Becky Pastor, for making the program possible. One Earth is the environmental program of the Public Affairs Department of KALX at the University of California in Berkeley. Until next week, remember, international cooperation in developing shared resources is one way that we as individuals can help build the roads and bridges of understanding and progress. Thank you.
Thanks, Candy Goldman, for yet another One Earth program. Today is Wednesday, August 16th.